The Lord for that. Well, the singing today has been, as usual, very good. I appreciate those who have the ability. I can't sing. I can. I just can't sing to where you'd want to hear it. But I can sing, amen, because I have a voice. But it wouldn't be something you'd want to hear. But you know what? That's okay. God hears it, and I think God likes it. I do. Acts 26, you have your Bible there, and I've got a thought that God's laid on my heart. I want to talk to you this morning, preach to you a little bit about the power of a changed life. The power of a changed life. You're looking at a changed man, and I believe I'm looking at many changed men and women, boys and girls. Changed. Now, when I say changed, I mean eternally changed. I don't mean just changed for a moment. Flash in the pan. I'm talking about an eternal change that can only come through the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul, probably the greatest missionary ever to live, humanly speaking. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus was the greatest preacher, greatest missionary, but humanly speaking, the Apostle Paul, I believe, was the greatest missionary that ever lived. Now, that's my opinion, and I'm entitled to that. You may have a different opinion. But I believe that the Apostle Paul was a great missionary. But there was a time when the Apostle Paul was on the other side of the fence, so to speak. And I want to talk to you about that. What happened in this man's life that so radically changed him? Can I tell you, I know a lot of people today that need a radical change in their life. Now, I believe you know some people that need a radical change in their life. There's many people in our country, and not just in our country only, but around the world that need this radical change that I'm going to talk to you about. There was a time in my life I needed this change. And I'm thankful that when people saw that, they didn't listen. Now, some may have dismissed me and some may have written me off, but I'm thankful for those that prayed for me and reached out to me and would not give up on me. Aren't you glad for people that won't give up on you? I'm glad God never gave up on me. Amen. God never gave up on me. He just kept pursuing me. He just kept pursuing me. I hear folks talk about seeking God. Brethren, I just want to set the record straight this morning before I get into the message. God sought you. See, no man seeketh God at any time. Now listen, you say, well, I did seek God, preacher, only after he sought you. See, God sought you, and as a result of that, you begin to seek him. God whet the appetite. God created a vacuum. God put a hunger in your heart to want to seek him. And that's the only reason you sought him, is because he first sought you. You say, well, I love Jesus. Well, the only reason we love him is because he first loved us. You see, God is the great initiator, and we need to keep that in mind. God always initiates to man. I'm thankful that he does. God longs to have a relationship with mankind. Now, there may be somebody, whether under the sound of my voice here in this sanctuary or watching by live stream today, say, you know what? I long for a relationship with my Creator. I long for a relationship with my Maker, with the God of heaven. Well, I want to tell you something. God longs for it worse than you do. He does. God longs for that. And because of that, he will initiate contact with you so that you can have that relationship with him. And if you will trust what God has done in his Son, and that is he sent his only begotten Son into this world to die for the sin of mankind. And Jesus did indeed come, lived and died, was crucified. And after he was crucified, he was taken down and buried in a borrowed tomb. But thank God, as we were celebrating on this day, 3 days later, Jesus came alive out of that tomb, and he said, I am alive forevermore. And Jesus is alive today. Now listen, he's alive this Sunday. Now don't get confused. Jesus was alive last Sunday. Amen. And Jesus is going to be alive next Sunday. So don't get confused and think, well, today Jesus is alive. He was alive yesterday too. Amen. He's always been alive except for those, listen, there were 3 days and 3 nights when he was in the heart of the earth that he chose to die for our sin. So he didn't die for just no purpose. He had a purpose in mind. The purpose of Christ's death was for our sins. Christ died, 1 Corinthians 15, for our sins. And 1 John chapter 2 says, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Amen. He was buried, but thank God the third day he rose again. I have something I want to bring to your attention before I get into, I have a thought here out of this section of Scripture. I've told the church many times that I believe there's three very important decisions that every human being must make. If you do not know about these three decisions, I trust that you would write them down. Number one, the most important decision you'll ever make in life is who you're going to worship. You say, I'm not going to worship. Oh, yes, you are. You have been created in such a way that you are, listen, you are hopelessly religious. I hear folks say all the time, I'm irreligious. Now, everybody worships somebody. Because God has made us to worship. You may worship yourself. You may worship your money. You may worship things. Everyone is going to worship someone or somebody. I think the greatest decision a person can ever make is to choose who you're going to worship. And you do get to choose. Who are you going to worship? Or who are you worshiping? Number two, who are you going to marry? That's the important stuff. Now, young folks, listen to me. Why'd you say young folks, preacher? Because if you're already married, amen, the decision's made. If you're not married, you really need to take into account the importance of that decision. Don't treat it flippantly. Don't go into that nonchalant and casually. It is a very, very important decision in life because you two shall be made one flesh. And then number three, who are your friends going to be? I think these are very, very, very important decisions. Who are you going to circle yourself with? Who are you going to surround yourself with in life? Because you either are or you are becoming like those in whom you spend your time with. And so you be very, very cautious about these three important questions. And I pray you'd answer them in a way that's going to be a blessing to you, not only for today, but for the years to come. Now, I was sitting at my desk this past week, and I began to read and think about some things, and I ran across this. Here's three important questions. Those are three important decisions. Here's three important questions. I want you to write them down. Number one, do you have a cause worth living for? Think about that. Do you have a cause worth living for? What's driving you to stay alive? What's driving you to get up each morning and to go about your day? What is your cause in life? Number one. Number two, the follow-up question. Is the cause in which you are living worth Jesus dying for? Number two, is the cause in which you are living worth Jesus dying for? And then number three, when you get to where you're headed, where are you going to be? See, everyone's headed somewhere. A lot of folks in a hurry to get nowhere. But everybody's headed somewhere. Where are you headed? We're all headed somewhere, brethren. Oh, not me, preacher. I'm a wanderer. I'm just going to kind of wander, and then it's going to all be over. Well, it is appointed unto man once to die, but not even death will end it, because Hebrews 9 says, after this, the judgment. So death doesn't end it. In many ways, it just begins it. Doesn't it? I mean, if we could look at our life, here it is right here. You listening? This is your life, right here. And then eternity would wrap around this globe. The amount of times that you can't even comprehend in your mind. So here's your span of life, and if we're not careful, we'll just get all up into this right here. You listening to me? We just get all torn out of shape. We just get all up into this right here, this little span right here. I'm not saying that you shouldn't prepare. I'm not saying that you shouldn't plan. I'm not saying that you shouldn't get involved and that you should not invest. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying don't get so caught up into this that you forget all that that goes on and on and on and on. Because I'm telling you, after this, then cometh. That's what God said. All right? So, three very, very important questions, and I trust that you would answer them in your heart. Now, let's look at this story we have before us. Here was a man who was going through life, got up one morning. I want you to look at with me, if you would, and chapter 26 of the book of Acts, in verse number 26. Let's begin our reading in verse number 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Now here's the Apostle Paul. And he's standing before the authorities. He's already stood before Felix. He's already stood before the governor Festus. And now he's standing before the King Agrippa. And here he is, and King Agrippa said, Paul, I'm going to let you speak for yourself. Now, God done moved on King Agrippa's heart because this is rare. But God had told Paul when he saved him, he said, I'm going to put you before kings. Can I tell you everything that God promises he's going to do? Amen. So here's Paul, and he said, he's going to get to speak for himself. And the first words that come out of his mouth in verse number 2, he said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. Well, I tell you right now, if you get some Christians happy, we could make some change in this world in which we live. Amen. Are you happy? Amen. Are you? I hope you are. You say, well, preacher, I can't stay happy. No, but you can stay joyful because joy comes from the Lord. That's right. He said, I think myself happy. And sometimes you do have to think yourself happy because the circumstances sure are not going to make you happy. You just have to think yourself happy in spite of the circumstances. And so the Apostle Paul began to give his life story. And he said, you know, life was going on, and I was your basic persecutor. You know, I was killing Christians and locking them up. And he said, I couldn't stand this guy, Jesus. I couldn't stand what he called the way. He said, I couldn't stand it. He said, it was a threat to my religion. It was a threat to my upbringing. It went against everything that I believed in. And he said, I didn't like it. And so I set out to destroy it. I set out to take care of it, to annihilate it. And he said, so I started doing things, and I put my vote of confidence in against them. Let's read it here. And he said, from my manner of youth, he said, folks knew me that I was a very religious person in verse number 4. And he said, all the Jews, they knew my stand, my position. He said, they knew me from the beginning. And they would testify that after the straightest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee, straight up guy. I mean, letter of the law. I stuck with it. Paul was a man who believed in what he didn't just talk about what he believed. He carried it out. And then the scripture says in verse number 6, he said, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God, unto our fathers. He said, you know, I find it interesting that as long as I was on their side, that they thought that was a good thing. He said, but just as soon as they found out that I was on the other side, he said, now they want to kill me. They've arrested me because I am saying that the promises that they say they believe in by the prophets, which the promise was that God was going to send a Messiah and God was going to answer the promises that he gave all of the prophets. And when Paul said, you know what? It's been answered. I found the answer, and his name's Jesus. He's the Messiah. And he said, as long as I was on that side, they were saying, go get him, boy, go get him. He said, but when I got on the other side, he said, now they say, go get him and bring him in. We want to kill him. Right? You know, it's kind of that way when you got saved. I know it was that way when I got saved. Boy, as long as I was out doing the things that my buddies and those I ran around with, boy, they was all for it. But the moment I got saved and told them, listen, I don't do that anymore. Something happened in my life. I trusted Jesus as my personal Savior. They wanted me out as soon as possible. They wanted to cut ties with me as soon as possible. And so something very similar happened here with the Apostle Paul. And as he was going through life, he said, I want to tell you what happened to me. He said in verse number 10, he said, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. He said, so here I was going through, and he said, I was saying when they were shut up in prison, yep, they're the ones. I was giving my voice, I was giving my vote. He said in verse number 11, I punished them off in every synagogue. I compelled them to blaspheme. He said, you deny God, you deny the Christ, you deny the resurrected Savior. He said, I compelled them to blaspheme. I compel them to denounce Christ. And he said, in being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. And so here's a man that's on a rampage. And you know the story. You read back in Acts chapter number 7 and 8. They stoned Stephen. They brought his garments and they laid them at Saul, this man's feet. And then he went on a tear and he reaped havoc among Christians and in the churches. And so much that that persecution spread them out and they went everywhere. But they didn't just go to different places. The Bible says they went everywhere preaching the word of God. Amen. What God, listen, what Saul meant for evil, God meant for good. And so here's this man, and he gets up one day. He's on the wrong side, and when he gets up, he thinks it's going to be just like any other day. But he had some letters. And verse number 10 says that, you know, I had some, verse number 12, said, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority, I mean, verse number 12, and commission from the chief priest. That day started out just like any other. Now, I want you to hear me. That day started out like any other. So he's going through the routine of finding synagogues and finding these Christians that were saying that Jesus was the way and Jesus was the sent Messiah and that he was crucified and that he died but that he resurrected from the grave. He was finding these people and he was telling them, denounce your faith, denounce your faith, denounce this Christ. And when they wouldn't, he'd haul them in. And he would bring them into prison. He put many to death. He had a lot of blood on his hands. And he got up one day, in verse number 12, he said, as time went on, in verse number 12, he said, I had some papers. I want you to watch how relentless this man was. Look at verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission. In other words, he said, I wasn't content just to take care of that. This thing that was going on in Jerusalem, I wanted to go into the outer areas. Even as they were relocating, he said, I wanted to go find them and get them. I want this way shut down. And so he gets up one day with these papers. Can you see it in verse number 12? He has authority and commission from the chief priest, and he has his papers, and he's getting up to go like any other day and do his thing. Unbeknown to him, this day was not like every other day. This day was going to be different than any day that he ever lived. It was going to change his life forever. Remember when that day was in your life? What day was it in your life? There was a day that you got up and it did not end like any other day that you've ever lived. Because you met the resurrected Savior. If you're saved in the grace of God, there was a day that changed your life forever. And Paul said, I want to tell you about that. Paul said, I want to tell you. I got up like any other day. I got up to go about my task. I'm going to find those Christians and I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to haul them in. I'm going to see that they're in prison. I want to see that they're put to death. I want to see that their mouths are stopped. I want to see that this way is annihilated. But verse number 13 says, at midday on that day, as he was headed toward Damascus, he said, I saw in the way a light from heaven. And Paul begins to give his salvation experience. Now, I want to make it very clear here this morning that you don't have to see flashing lights and you don't have to have a light brighter than the midday sun in order to be saved by the grace of God. As a matter of fact, I have the word Saul underlined, S-A-W, in verse number 13 in my Bible. And then I go down to verse number 14, and he said, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard. See, that's what matters. Amen. It's not what you see, it's what you hear. See, the word of God is what changes a life. We are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And so Paul didn't just see a light. He heard a voice, and this voice was none other than the one whom he had been persecuting. Paul didn't realize he was persecuting him. So I want you to look at a few things here with me. Paul, you may not write in your Bible, but in verse number 10, I have the word in prison. See, right in the middle of verse number 10, he said, I shut him up in prison. And then verse number 11, I punish them. Then the latter part of verse number 11, I persecuted them. You see those three P's? I put them into prison. I punished them. I persecuted them. Now, just hold those thoughts right there. And then something radical happened in his life. He went from all that to verse number 20. You see that word, but showed? It's a very interesting word. It means to report. It means to declare. It means to proclaim. So here's a man that went from putting them in prison and persecuting them and punishing them to proclaiming him. What happened? What happens to a man that changes him like that? Have you ever had something like that happen in your life? Have you ever had something like this happen in your life? You say, what happened in this man's life? Well, the Bible says in verse number 13, he said, I was going on the road to Damascus, and he said there was a light, and he said it was brighter than the brightest part of the day and the sun. And he said, it shone round about me when we were journeying. And he said, it was shining around us, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and it was saying in a Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What are you doing? What are you doing, Saul? Why are you doing this? Why are you working against me? You know, before I got saved, you too. You say, I didn't kill any Christians, preacher. Well, now, wait a minute. I don't know what you did before you got saved, but can I tell you, man is just working against God. God was trying to work with Saul, and Saul was working against God. And this voice said, Saul, what are you doing? I'm trying to enter into a close relationship with me. And he said, look at what he said there. He said, you're kicking against the pricks. You know what that is? It's goads. He said, you're hurting yourself. These pricks were these instruments that so when the oxen kicked against them, it inflicted pain. So that they learned, don't kick against the direction that I'm taking you into. And so he said, why are you doing this? Why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you going against me trying to minister to you? Can I tell you that's just the nature of man? God has reached out to us. God has sent his son. Don't miss this. God sent his son from heaven. And you know what man did? Beat him to a bloody pulp. Hung him on a cross. And said, this is what we think of your son. He said, well, I wouldn't have done that, preacher, if I'd have been there. Sure you would have. Sure you would have. Because it was your sin and my sin that put him there. And so Paul was being called out, and Saul was being called out by God, and he said, why are you persecuting, watch this now, me? There's a lot to be learned here. Number one, Jesus was identifying with his people. I learned from this, I need to be careful when I speak out against God's people. You need to be careful when you speak out against God's people. Because Jesus identifies with his people. Jesus did not say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting my people? Look at it in verse number 12. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Because I and my people are one. They're the body. I'm the head. You're not going to do this. There's consequences. They said, why are you working against me? I want to help you. And on this resurrection morning, I see where that he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What do you think that statement means? There may be somebody here today that would say, you know what? God is speaking to me, maybe about getting saved. Maybe about serving God. Maybe about doing a work for the Lord. And God is speaking to you and you're working against him. And God's message to that person today is, that's a hard way to go. It's a hard way to go. You say, well, I will go against God, preacher. I will go against him. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to go God's way. Listen, that's a hard way to go. Please listen to the voice of God's man this morning. That's a hard way to go. God will allow you to go that way. But if you, listen, if you continue to go that way, it'll get harder and harder and harder. And the Word of God says that the way of the transgressor is hard. Listen, Saul, don't work against me. Work with me. You know, as I grow and I continue to learn from the Lord and God's Word, I learned the best thing to do is just go with God and work with God, not against Him. Find out what God said and do it. Right? Yeah. See, in our minds, we've got our own plans made out, and we say, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. We heard it in Sunday school this morning. The Lord willing. See, I need to find out what God's plan is and get in on God's plan. See, we've gotten so used to where we say, God bless America. Well, God can't bless sin. Now, listen to me. God can't bless sin. God bless me and my family. God wants to bless us. God wants to do for us. God wants us to be blessed, and God wants us to be in His will, and God wants us to be a part of His promises, but God's not going to do it against His Word. And so we can't just expect to pray, God bless us, God bless this, and God bless that, and God bless it. What God says, no, you get yourself in a place to where I can bless. Get yourself in the place where God is blessing, and then the blessing will fall on you. And so he said, Saul, he said, it's hard for thee, in verse number 14, to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. I want to give you about three or four things here before I finish the message. The power of a changed life. I want you to notice what God did for this man. God will do it for you. For many, God has already done it. Don't miss it. Number one, God just doesn't want to save you so you can say, I'm free. I'm saved. You say, did Paul get saved? Well, let's see. Look over in verse number 23, if you would, of chapter 16. He said, this is what I'm preaching, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. Sounds like to me he believes in the death, burial, and resurrection. Right? Is that how you get saved? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Paul wrote that in Romans 10. And so this is what the power of the resurrected life, when Paul realized what he was doing, who he was doing against, and he received that and he quit working against God and allowed God to work in him, it changed everything, his focus, his perspective. And so now God said, Paul, I've got something for you to do. You know what drives people crazy? Not knowing what their purpose is. Please listen. I think sometimes as Christians, we get to the place in our lives to where we think, you know what, as long as I'm saved, that's all that matters. No, it's not all that matters. That's not all that matters. Because God just doesn't save us and put a period. God saves us for a purpose. There's a reason God saves people. And it's not just to take us to heaven. You, how do you know that, preacher? You mean saved people don't go to heaven? All saved people go to heaven. But God doesn't save us just to take us to heaven. Because if he did, he'd save you and take you to heaven. If that's the only reason God saved us was to take us to heaven, he'd save you and then you'd go to heaven. But God saves us for a purpose. And I want you to see that's exactly what he did for this man, and what he did for this man he'll do for you. He wants to do it for you. God has a purpose for your life. There are so many people that have set God's purpose aside and started chasing other purposes, and that's why they're discontent. That's why they're unfulfilled. And I just want to help somebody this morning to really know what it is to have fulfillment and purpose in your life. He said in verse number 16, look at it. He said, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. I've got something for you to do. God has something for me to do. God has something for you to do. Have you asked God what that is? God, what is your purpose for my life? That's something that we all need to be pursuing and performing in our lives. God, what is your purpose for my life? You want fulfillment in life? Find out what God's purpose in life is. There's no greater fulfillment than knowing and doing God's purpose. This is what he said Paul's purpose was. Can I tell you, I think that we all get a little bit of Paul's purpose in our purpose. Let's see what it was. To make thee a minister. You say, well, God hasn't called me to be a minister. I'm a woman. I don't want to preach. That word minister just means a servant. Right? He said, Paul, he said, you've been used to being top dog. He said, I'm going to ask you to work under me. Bring yourself under me, follow me, and work for me as you serve others. Has God made you a minister? Who'd you serve this past week? Who are you serving? See, the purpose of life, we're interconnected, brethren. No man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. I'm talking to you this morning about the power of a changed life. Paul was on a, listen, he was on a rampage, and it was all about him until Jesus saved him. And Jesus told him, listen, I'm changing your purpose. Your purpose is going to involve me, and it's going to involve others. I want you to be a minister. I want you to be a servant. You have a servant's heart? I believe many of you do. I believe many do. Generally speaking, he said to be a minister, but look at this, and a witness both to these things which thou hast seen and to those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He said, I've got some things for you to do. It's your purpose. Now, because of time, I don't have time to go into this. I think many of you know this story. The power of a changed life. He said, I'm going to use you instead of inflicting pain, instead of living for yourself, instead of reaping havoc. I'm going to use you instead of trying to tear down the church. I'm going to use you to build the church. I'm going to use you to serve people. I'm going to use you to be a witness. A witness. What kind of witness am I? What kind of witness are you? Am I the witness of a changed life? When people look at me, do they see there's something different about Dale Freeman? There's something different about him. You say, well, what if they didn't know the way you live before you got saved? I don't think people have to know the way you live before you got saved to know there's something different about you. Amen? They can think you were born on a church pew and raised in Sunday school. And still, they can see when you're living for Jesus, when you're fulfilling his purpose, they will see there's something different about that person right there. Because Jesus makes a difference, brethren. Amen? Amen. Jesus makes a difference. And so he said, I have this for you to do. He said, there's pardon. And he mentions that pardon. He mentions it in verse number 23, but he mentions purpose. And then finally, peace. And this is where I'll close. I like what Paul said here. He said, you know, this is not a flash in the pan. I've seen them come and I've seen them go, brethren. I want you to listen to me now. I've seen folks get what they say, you know, I got saved. And boy, they'll come out the gate, boom, boy, they'll be going. And then before long, they'll start kind of fading out, slacking off. Might not be able to find them after a while. Can I tell you what Paul's saying here? I want you to watch carefully what God's telling him. Paul said, I've been through a lot of hard stuff. You read a little bit about Paul's life and you'll find out he had been through a whole lot. There were people wanting to take his life. Everywhere Paul went, they wanted to kill him. You say, preacher, I'm having a hard time. I'm not minimizing your hard time. I'm not. But I just want to tell you, there's a man who was going through a hard time. He didn't let up. Did you notice what he said? Look at verse 16. That's the wrong verse. I'm sorry. Let me find it here. He said, I was obedient. I'm going to find it here in just a moment. He said, I was obedient unto the heavenly vision. Verse number 19. He said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He said, once God saved me and showed me what to do, I got on it. Has God showed you what to do? What are you waiting on? God to tell you again? When God tells us what to do, brethren, we need to get to doing it. Amen? Amen. What's God told you to do? What's God told you your purpose was? Come on. To be a minister. To be a witness. He said, I wasn't disobedient. Let's read on down. And he said, so I immediately, in verse number 20, began to show first of them of Damascus, where I was headed. And then he said, to Jerusalem, throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And he said, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Hey, they're always trying to get me. Paul always faced hardships. If you live for Jesus, if you live for Christ, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. Right? But you can't let that stop you. Go on down, if you would, in verse number 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. See, God will help you to fulfill the purpose. He'll give you peace that he's going to be with you. He'll give you help. He said again, verse 22, therefore obtained help of God. He said, I continue unto this day witnessing both to the small and great. He said, I'm continuing to do what God's called me to do. I'm not allowing the obstacles of this life to stop me. And don't you allow the obstacles of this life to stop you either. Because the devil's trying to shut your mouth. The devil's trying to stop your progress. The devil's trying to get you to do anything but what God has purposed for you to do. And you have a decision to make. Now, there's much more here, but our time is up. And so, I ask you a question today. Has your life been changed? I'll go back to that question. What's your cause? What's your purpose? What cause do you live for? What cause do you live for? Is that cause that you live for worth Jesus dying for? Where are you headed? You going in circles? I don't know. I don't know where folks are at. Can you see the direction in which you're headed? Are there people's lives being influenced for the glory of God by the path that you're on and the direction that you're headed? If not, and you claim to be a Christian now, something's not right. Because God's purpose for every Christian is to be a minister and a witness. God wants to use you and your life that he has changed to be a witness of his power. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand. When we read verses of scripture like this and we think about Jesus being alive, we sing songs about Christ arose and he lives, and man, that's great. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that the Word of God says Jesus is alive. I know he's alive because the Word of God says so, but I know he's alive because he lives in my heart. Because he lives in my heart, he's given me a purpose. Does he live in your heart? Does Jesus live in your heart? Are you saved? Have you invited Jesus to come into your life? You see, you don't just get born and become a Christian accidentally. It's intentionally. I think some folks think, well, you know what? I joined Fellowship Baptist Church, and so I became a Christian. Joining a church does not make you a Christian. Please hear me this morning. There's a lot of confusion. The devil is trying to confuse people. And he tries to make folks think, well, you can go to heaven by your affiliation with the church. You cannot go to heaven by an affiliation with the church. Say amen with me, folks. This is the Word of God. You must be born again. You have to be saved. And only through the power of the resurrected Christ can you be saved. And if you will confess him as your Savior, then you're saved. And with that pardon comes a purpose. I've been pastoring for 36 years. And I can't tell you the amount of people that I've seen that receive pardon, and somewhere along the way, they just let purpose go. See, purpose is what brings fulfillment in that pardon. You would think when folks get saved, they'd come dancing in the church. You say, preacher, you believe in dancing in the Spirit. You'd think when folks get saved, they'd be skipping across the parking lot to get in this place. I'm serious. Brethren, we're saved forever. We're going to heaven. Our sins are forgiven. But see, so many folks are sad and they're distraught and they have no joy. Why? It's not because they haven't been pardoned. Because if they've trusted Christ as their Savior, they've been pardoned. It's because they have not found that purpose and followed up with that purpose. You can be saved and be very unhappy. So first of all, as the pianist begins to play, I want you to bow your head with me. Do you know that pardon? Do you? Has there ever been a time in your life that you realized you were a sinner and you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart? If you haven't done that on this Easter Sunday morning when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, would you right now in your heart say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I realize I've sinned against you, and I believe that Jesus died for me, was buried, and rose again the third day. And I want you to come into my heart and save me for Christ's sake. Would you pray that? If you've never prayed that, would you pray that and ask Jesus to come into your life and save you? And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the way an individual gets saved. That's how you get pardoned. In just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to testify to that if you've received Jesus as your Savior. But for all those that may be here today that say, I have prayed that, preacher, but yet I feel that there's something missing in my life. It may be your purpose. See, as God told Saul, Paul, both same person, he just changed his name. He said, I did it for a purpose. He saved you for a purpose too. I wonder, are you fulfilling that purpose? What's your purpose? Well, at the very least, it's to be a servant and a witness. And I pray that you would be that. I believe it's greater than that. God has a purpose for every individual. And if you do not know his purpose, I pray that you would just bow right now and say, God, I want to serve you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to serve you, Lord. Show me your purpose. I want to walk in your purpose.